was ours.
Wait a minute. What are you trying to do to us now? Our theme song is yours?
Yeah, well, we originally had that. The theme song, The Voice of Long Island, that was done by Andy Lish, was given to us by Andy for our comedy show that we were going to produce this summer. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. Yes. All I know is I found this this theme.
This card.
Hidden somewhere.
And that's, we hid it.
Well, I found it, and I said, wouldn't this make a great theme for our show?
I know, and that's exactly why we had it.
Well, that's the breaks. That's show business, you know?
Stella, but we wanted you to know.
Well, thanks for telling us.
Okay, well, listen, I'm going to go.
You'll be pleased to know it means nothing to us.
Not to you.
No.
So, you know the lyrics to this? The Andy Lish composition?
Just one point of it, it just goes, whoop, whoop.
Yeah?
You know, that's the only thing I know.
There are lyrics to it, and they're religious lyrics, too.
Oh, they're religious lyrics?
Yes, yes, to our theme.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have them?
No, we don't have them handy.
We plan on singing them one night.
Yes.
That is something we are looking forward to.
I'd love to be around when you do that.
We'll call you.
See, the problem is that whenever
I have
my
radio...
We'll
get you to do backup vocals.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, whenever I have my radio on to you guys, I lose it. It just drops it, capping the capacitor, just decides it doesn't want to hold on to
you. A lot of people lose it when they're listening to us.
That's true.
No question about that.
And then again, those people find it when they listen to Andy Lish.
And say, we never lost it.
Well, it's
a lie, but we don't want to get into that. It's 13 minutes after 12 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh, I guess we should mention who the pianist is in the back.
Steve Specht is playing piano for us. Who are you, by the way?
I'm Mike Uhas.
And I'm Eric Corley, then. And that's Steve Specht.
That's great background. It kind of feels like you're in a bar or someplace, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Expect any second for a band suddenly get up and start playing.
A band like NRBQ.
That would be great.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great if that happened?
Fantasize about that for a second.
There's a picture of NRBQ up on the wall there. It says, the only rock band that matters.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, do you hear that? That sounds like them.
That's from their album Tiddlywinks, and it's a song called Music Goes Round and Round and Round and Round. Yeah,
and it does. It was going around and round.
Because this is a USB record, and it's not a tape. Well, tapes go round and round, too.
Lots of things go round and round. In fact, just about everything goes around.
Yeah, but some things go back and forth.
Like bicycle wheels. That reminds me of something.
Oh.
I was driving in my car, which has wheels that go around and round.
Which reminds me of another NRBQ tune.
I don't want to hear about that.
Sorry.
Everything reminds you of an NRBQ tune.
Yeah, that's true, too.
But anyway.
It's just so out of my aura, you know.
I was driving in my car, entering the campus here at the State University of
today?
New York at Stony Brook. No, this was actually 2 days ago.
Because your car's broken down today.
Yes,
and
we'll
you
get
want
into
me
that
to
later
give
on.
You a lift home.
Oh, it's not an unreasonable request,
is it? Sure, it is when you live 50 miles away.
Well, we'll negotiate later.
Okay.
But I was driving onto campus a couple of days ago, and I saw this this person. That was the day when it was really nice outside.
Oh, was this Monday?
Really nice. I guess it was Monday then.
That's when I had off from work, and I was down on the beach taking a nice long walk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What beach?
Port Jefferson.
Well, that's nice. Was it nice on Tuesday, though, as well as Monday?
Tuesday, it was a little cooler.
Okay.
And it turned cold.
This was the day when it was really nice out, and everybody thought it was spring, and people here in Stony Brook were lying on the benches between the academic buildings and lying in the street and sitting on their cars,
mm-hmm.
playing, a couple of people playing Frisbee, not that many. There were always a few diehards who, first sign of spring, get the old Frisbee out. But I was riding in my car, and I saw this person riding his bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
And
he had no clothes on.
No, he
didn't?
He was riding his bicycle, and I said, that's great, you know, someone's out getting some exercise. And as I passed by him, I saw he had this really big smile on his face, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, boy, isn't that something, to get into exercise that much in fresh air and just to be, you know, pedaling along. I had a really positive vibration from it. Then I looked at him a little bit closer.
Was it a Rastaman vibration?
No.
Are you supposed to say, yeah?
I don't go along with that. But I saw him with this great big smile on his face, and I passed by him in my car and gave a little sidelong glance to him, and that's when I saw these little wires going down from his ears down his shirt, and I realized this is another one of these people with those crazy little tape recorders that they carry around with them,
mm-hmm.
that blast out stereophonically their favorite music. And
he could have been listening to USB.
Possibly, but usually it's a tape of something. And more people are getting, you know, surrounded by music wherever they go.
Mm-hmm.
This person was driving down a country road, hearing probably Led Zeppelin or something blasting through his ears as if he was sitting in his room.
I read somewhere about how a guy was caught in an avalanche, and he didn't hear the falling snow because of that same reason he had those headphones on.
It's important to have your ears open to things.
That's true.
I mean, can you imagine if people, you know, put little television sets in front of their eyes? While they were walking along? I mean, it's the same concept. Your ears are just as important as your eyes.
Yes.
I know a few mouths we can do without, but every sense is pretty much important, so you shouldn't cover it up. Maybe if you have your favorite music coming through one ear and your other ear on alert,
mm-hmm.
I think that would make more sense.
Yeah.
But this person was really enjoying himself, but, you know, not for the reason that I thought he was enjoying himself.
Why are you dusting those little switches off?
Hey, I like keeping a clean studio here. But
yeah.
While we're on the subject of bicycles, I was going to get my bicycle fixed this week, but then I couldn't get it fixed.
Because your car broke down.
Well, no, not because of that, but because it suddenly turned into spring at the beginning of the week.
And then it turned back to winter.
Well, the fact that it turned into spring was bad because that meant that everybody was going to take their bikes down and have it fixed, and there'd be a 6-week waiting period.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned into winter again, and I didn't feel like going out with my bicycle.
Yeah.
So it's a catch-22.
Yeah. It's interesting. Interesting. Why couldn't it be a catch-44? Or a catch-11?
By this time, it should be.
Or a catch-6 and 5.5.
You have a bicycle, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You ever ride it?
I used to ride it
up to the station quite a bit.
Every once in a while, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we were going to take a bicycle ride
after the show one morning.
After our program, and I think we should this spring.
Well, it's possible. I won't commit myself.
All right, I think we should go down to the South Shore.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
You were telling me how you got run off the road on Nichols Road one time, and you want me to ride all the way down to Sunrise and watch the sunrise on Sunrise Highway down there? Is that the idea?
I could write a song about that, actually.
I saw the sunrise on the sunrise.
We don't have to take a major highway. We can take a back road where they
drive like even more maniacs.
That's true, but you can hear them coming at least.
You can still... You can. What do you mean? You'd be listening on one of those crazy headset things so that you wouldn't be hearing them on Nichols Road?
Well, this seems
but
like.
Wait a minute. This is. We're talking about this is going to happen in the springtime, not now.
The springtime may be around the corner.
That's true.
It is snowing, though.
No, last time I looked at it, it stopped.
Well, it is 2 degrees, so that means 2 degrees above freezing.
Yeah.
That's,
or as some of us like to look at it, 2 degrees above melting.
Uh-huh. Melting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Freezing, melting, same temperature.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Now, the folks before us told us, commanded us to promote this. So I guess we should do it if we want to stay alive. And that's the campus organizing conference statement of purpose to counter that right-wing assault through bringing together students, faculty, and support staff who are interested in campus organizing around issues of Reaganomics, anti-nuclear, racism, sexism, third world struggles, gay and lesbian liberation, anti-draft, progressive issues, to strategize separately and together to discuss issues and successful organizing tactics, to link them when possible with ongoing grassroots efforts through these issues, and to plan, if we do so decide, our future network, organization, coalition. It's going to be a busy day.
Ooh.
Is that tomorrow? No, it is tomorrow. In fact, 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. at John Jay College, which is 445 West 59th Street. So that's one thing that's going on. Something I'd like to bring up that wasn't mentioned at all by the folks before us was the Suffolk County Legislature meeting, which is coming up this Tuesday night. Now, what they're going to be deciding there are a couple of things, namely some major points on the Shoreham nuclear plant. In other words, whether or not they're going to cut back on months of public hearings that are supposed to occur. There's a good chance that they're going to just skip those and license the plant like that.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing they're going to do on Tuesday night, or actually Tuesday during the day, is try to introduce a bill to totally invalidate the bottle bill of Suffolk County that's supposed to go into effect April 1st.
Yeah. Which is a very poor day for a law to go into effect.
That's true. I agree with that.
Especially one I kind of agree with.
I know what you mean.
Do you have any April Fool's Day jokes planned?
Not yet. But I imagine some will come up. But that legislative meeting, though, I think is very important for people to go to en masse.
A couple of weeks ago, you had a gentleman on your show who was talking about...
Jim Liotta from the New York Public Interest Research Group, known as...
NYPIRG.
Yeah, very conveniently. They have what they call PIRGs all over the country, in fact. They have...
Do they have CAPIRGs in California?
I don't know if they call them that. I know they have a MassPIRG in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Do
they have a Miss Perg for Mississippi?
I don't know about that one.
Do they have a Mr. Perg for Mississippi?
They're spreading all over the place, though. They have one in Hamilton, Canada. I know that much.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hamperg.
I don't know if they call it that. But some of them, sometimes the Perg comes first.
Pergham. As in Pergam.
Or Perg Nye, but not in this case, but in other cases, I think. Maybe Perg Cow or something like that.
Perg Cow.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. I think CalPERG would be better.
Sounds that way. It sounds kind of obscene, though, somehow.
And for Colorado, would be CalPERG.
Well, anyway, public interest groups are spreading all over the place, and we just felt you should know about that.
Yes, and they are the folks who basically who are responsible for that bottle bill actually passing, right?
That's true.
They really lobbied for it. Right?
Oh, they moved against that, you know.
They countered against the lobbyists to the bottle industry.
I'll tell you, I was at one of those meetings, one of those leg meetings, we call them, over in in Riverhead Legislature.
Oh.
And, you know, us who are in the business discuss it. Uh-huh. But anyway, every time there's a mass turnout for these things, whether they're discussing bottle bills or the nuclear plant or anything that's controversial, invariably the microphone system goes out and everybody has to scream.
Yeah.
I've never seen it to fail. Every time. It always works when there's five people there, but they have this big electronic microphone set up, and it always breaks when there are lots of people there. Now, I'm not going to say anything about that.
Hmm.
It's a trivial issue, because if someone wants to get something said, they'll get it said.
Now, they have an excuse to scream and raise their emotions.
That's true.
That's true, too.
If you're going to the meeting on Tuesday, you might want to bring a little megaphone with you. And don't give it to the people on the other side.
Yeah, whatever you do, that's the worst thing to do.
Let's give it to the people who are on your side.
Whatever that may be.
And make the other people scream and seem unreasonable.
But wouldn't you, in fact, sound unreasonable or look unreasonable if you were up there with a megaphone?
Now, if you spoke rationally through a megaphone, you can do that.
Yes, you could, but it just looks
In fact, in the old Shoreham days, you know, June 3rd, 19... What year was that?
I thought you were going to say June Lodge.
No, June 3rd, 1970...
That rainy day?
Is it either 77? Yeah, I think it was 77. Yeah, that rainy day. In preparation for that, I remember one of the workshops was how to successfully utilize a megaphone. No, because it was an important thing.
Yeah.
And to lead mass demonstrations, you need a megaphone, and you need to use it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get your message across without sounding hysterical.
Yeah. How about if we talk about a couple of quick things and then go into some music, because I think Steve in there is getting kind of tired.
Well, he's doing a darn good job, I must say, providing us with entertainment.
Let's just listen to him for a little while. You're doing great, Steve. The only thing you may think it's Steve, but it's not. It's the piano that's so terribly out of tune. And it's making clicks. It sounds like there's a tap dancer.
I like the clicks. I think the clicks sort of add to the old-time nostalgia of it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, little clicks. You know, a Western type of a bar setup, I could see that.
How come we don't have any fights in the background or our plate glass windows breaking?
Oh, I'm sure we could get those if we try.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get the boys in back to get some plate glass windows over here and break them on people's heads.
How about the rips of papers?
Don't rip that. Please don't rip that. That's very important. Okay, that's better.
That's our brand of violence.
We're not a violent radio station. We rip paper.
Yeah.
Now, the folks before us were talking about depressing things.
Uh-huh.
Ronald Reagan. the state of the world today, uh-huh, and all that kind of thing. Before I go into this a little further, I'd just like to say that we don't always just talk about national things. We get very local sometimes. In fact, coming up very soon, we're going to do something that involves someone right here at the radio station.
Yes, that's very true.
Do you want to elaborate on that?
No, I don't.
You don't. You want me to?
No, I don't. I think it should just run the way it is and...
No, I don't agree with that at all. Okay. I think we should tell people this is happening, because I, for one, am proud of it.
And you didn't even do anything on it.
Well,
it was our idea, and it was me who carried it out to fruition.
Some of it.
All of it.
Most of it.
All of it.
Not all of it.
Yes.
No. Who did the first?
The first part of it?
Someone threw out the first part of it?
Me.
Yeah, I'll talk about that later. But mm-hmm. In any event, what we're talking about is another one of our speeches done in dub.
Yeah.
That's right. We obtained a rare version of a little talk given by our own general manager. Here at the radio station, and we'll be playing that for you
in
the dub version of
the rubber-dub style
of our general manager for you. So that's coming up later.
That was a little speech that was made a couple of years ago.
Yeah, what a speech. Very short.
And it could have been an editorial.
Some might have even viewed it that way. But let's get back to the national doomsday issues that we're talking about here. Now,
speaking about... Why do you say national? It looks like you have a galactic chart there for me.
Okay, this is a little bit more than national, actually.
Uh-huh.
It seems that some people are saying that this year, to be specific, March 10th, the world's going to
end.
End, you know, just like that.
Oh, geez, and I don't even see my birthday.
Well, here's this is an article in the New York Times, and it asks the question, will the world come to an end on March 10th, or at least... suffer terrible earthquakes because all the planets are lined up in a devastating configuration.
Before you get into that...
Yeah. It's appropriate they're playing this now.
Yeah. One of our listeners gave us a copy of the People's Almanac, Volume 2.
Yeah.
And there is a whole bunch of stories in there, instances of when the world was predicted to end.
Uh-huh.
and they gave all the details, and the last sentence was, nothing happened.
Well, so many people have asked about this anyway, at the Kitt Peak National Observatory in Arizona.
Ooh.
That the observatory has issued a 7-page analysis to deny that the Earth will face some special danger on that date.
Hmm.
Can you figure out in your head what day that is?
March 10th?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see what it says here. I don't think it does. Because I'll have to plan my schedule around that.
The world is going to end. I'd like to know. You have a calendar in your pocket?
I'm checking.
That's good. Some people have calendars in their watches. They can pre-program and just check a date.
I don't have a calendar.
You don't?
And I don't have a watch either.
Oh, there's a calendar on the wall there. Why don't you look at that one? Well, I can figure it out just by looking at it. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay,
six,
it's
six.
A Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad, you know.
Why is that?
That's one of my busy days.
Mm-hmm.
Something's going to get messed up. Well, anyway, other institutions, including the New York Times and the American Museum, Hayden Planetarium in New York.
At Hayden Planetarium.
Whatever, have received similar inquiries about the consequences of all the planets being in a straight line,
you know,
on the same side of the sun.
If everybody keeps making inquiries, it's going to have a profound transcendental effect.
How so?
Mind over matter. Everybody's expecting something to happen. I mean, when everybody expects something to happen, like all those inquiries, they can't all be wrong, can they?
Okay, what we're doing now is desperately trying to make that not happen by making people believe something else.
Uh-huh.
So let's continue. As noted in the Kitt Peak statement, that's a funny name, and by Dr. Kenneth Franklin, that's not, of the planetarium, despite reports to the contrary, the planets will not be even close to a perfect alignment.
Hmm.
Although, from January 24th to April 10th, they will indeed all be on the same side of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
The bright side. On March 10th, there are apparent positions, as seen from the sun, will be closer together than at any time in the last 179 years.
So what happened?
Sorry.
That was great. That was really good.
He thinks that's good, too. The planets orbit the sun in roughly...
Should I play the other song right now?
Yes. Go ahead.
I don't know anymore. I'm running out.
Backwards.
Turn up his volume.
That's good.
Good, yeah.
The planets orbit the sun in roughly the same plane called the ecliptic.
Uh-huh.
All right, but on March 10th, their positions in that plane, far from being in a direct line from the sun, will be scattered over a pie-sliced area slightly larger than one quarter of the ecliptic. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
Now, the Kitt Peak analysis attributes much of this to the Jupiter effect. It's a book published in 1974 by two British writers, John Gribbin and Stephen Plageman.
Mm.
And they contended that with all the planets on one side of the sun, their collective gravity would act on the sun, causing intense eruptions or flares that throw out high energy particles. These, the authors said, would affect the Earth's magnetic field, inducing a torque that would alter the motions of the plates.
You mean a Peter torque, as in the monkeys?
Yeah, you got it. That form the planet's surface, or would change global wind patterns, increasing friction between air and the Earth. The resulting drag on the Earth would then induce catastrophic earthquakes.
Huh.
All right. Now, the Kitt Peak analysis said that scientists have been universally critical of the theory. The scientists say the planets are so small relative to the sun and so distant from it that their gravitational effect on the solar surface is negligible. It's not important, even when all are on the same side of the sun.
Hmm.
Since the surface of the sun normally pulsates several miles on time scales ranging from minutes to hours, the predicted effect of planetary gravity less than one inch would be inconsequential.
Hmm.
So, according to this article, the world is not going to end on March 10th. But I'll tell you, I'd like to know for sure a little bit more, because, well, my sister's birthday is March 10th.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, I just would like to know this in advance. I mean, there's not much point in going out and buying a present now if we're all going to be little tiny atoms, you know, by the time we get around to opening it now.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Well,
I mean, I don't want to seem like I'm being petty here, but what is the point of going out, wasting money, if...
Well, listen.
Day is never going to come.
Look at it this way. If you wasted the money, you wouldn't have spent it on anything better anyway.
Well, you see, I like to think of money as being... Well, money is forever. Okay, human life is expendable, but money will always be there. So who are we to go around? There's always going to be a monetary system in someone's head.
Suppose everybody's killed.
There's life on other planets, and they must have money, too.
So they're going to use American money.
Money is a
what
a
is the rate of exchange for Martian money?
Money is a sort of god. All right? Money is what makes us live. Money is what's going to make us die.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, the chase for the almighty buck. All right? Money is a force. Money is probably what was responsible for all of us being in existence in the first place. It's a very powerful thing. You can't just throw it away like that, you know? Mm. So that's why I don't like to...
why don't you just give your sister money instead of getting her a present?
That would solve things.
Yeah, it would
solve anything, actually. But that's the story in the end of the world. I just thought, you know, as a public service, we tell people what's coming.
Oh,
or not coming, or what have you.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Okay. So now we got back to a depressing subject after going away from it for a little while. We have all sorts of depressing music now. Not really depressing, but...
Well, wait a minute. What are you calling Steve's music?
No, this isn't depressing.
Yeah.
Ready? Charlie Brown music.
Yes.
It was off of Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving, by the way.
Well, wait a minute. It was off the Christmas one, too.
Oh, no, that had a disintroduction. The Christmas one was the jazz version. Now everything was bopping right
yeah,
away.
Yeah, but they were dancing in that one, don't you remember? They were at a Christmas party, and remember those two female twins who when they were dancing would just shake their heads back and forth. Oh, that was great! I like that part.
Pigpen left a cloud of dust. No, was it Pigpen? Yeah, I guess so.
I don't think Pigpen was in the Christmas special.
Yeah, sure he was. He's in all of them.
I don't know. Pigpen is a somewhat newer character. I mean, not new now. Everything is sort of stagnated now, but back when that was made in the early 60s.
Rerun. He was a good guy for a while. He took off. I remember Linus's little brother.
I never really paid attention to him. What do you mean he took off?
Well, I don't know. He was there one day and he was gone the next, you know. It was like pretty beat because I was into, you know, he was pretty new character.
He's the one who used to ride the bike with his mother from the library.
No, that was Linus.
No, Linus. Yes.
No, that was Linus.
There's
no question about that. That was Linus.
He was
a little kid once, you know? Linus,
I know he was a little kid, but I'm talking about newspaper comics that appeared in the mid-70s, all right? Mid-70s, late-70s, that showed a little kid on the back of a bike in this comic strip that we're talking about who threw library books at dogs that were chasing him and his mother on the bike. That was not Linus.
Yes, it was.
That was his little brother.
No,
and
I will fight to the death on this because I know I'm right. I'll fight you to the death on it. All right.
Let's appeal to our listeners, okay?
There are lots of Peanuts fans
out there, and if I can find one person who agrees with you, I will be convinced, but I don't think I will.
Because that is totally wrong. They never listen to me on the show. They always listen to you. They're all your friends out there.
They're honest people. They're not loyalists. They won't just say, because we listen to them, we're going to agree with everything they say.
Are they?
By the way,
let me just ask an impartial question here because I'm not involved.
I feel very passionately on this because I've dealt with this comic strip a long time. I know it very well.
Steve, who wrote that last piece you played?
Henry Mancini, something like that? You write that?
No.
Oh, well then, I'm always wrong anyway.
Claims to be a Peanuts expert. Ha.
Who wrote it, Mike?
It's the same guy who wrote Cast Your Fate to the Wind, right?
You don't know.
Yes.
You're just making it up.
No, I'm for real. This time, I don't remember the guy's name.
Tell me the real name of the guy.
Can you hang on a second? I'll go back in the library.
Sure.
He's going back in the... I don't believe this. No,
Rerun only showed up for a short time.
I know he did. But why would they suddenly revert back to Linus as a small kid?
Linus doesn't grow old. You know what I mean? Linus has always
been too big to ride on the back of his mother's bicycle.
No way. He's like Charlie Brown is 60 years old. He's always been 60 years old. Linus is a couple of years younger than him. What does that make him? 5'4"? Kids are 5'4" right?
Even so, in the world of Peanuts, he's still too old to ride on the back of his mother's bicycle.
The kid
I was looking at was so small, and he probably didn't even know how to talk yet, but he always thought these things. He never said anything. There was always a little dots leading up to the bubble, not a straight line, which meant that he was thinking.
No, I don't think so. I just didn't think... I think he was just... That's true, okay? But he was thinking to himself. Linus wasn't talking to his mother, and they never talked to their mothers, really, or anything like that.
Well, that's true. They don't have adults very often in the
They only have the teachers that go...
I think that's a great noise.
No, I don't know the answer to that question.
That's one of the best things I've ever seen, but... You know, it's a good point we've raised. I think it's Rerun. You think it's Linus.
Listen, that was a whole series, right? That was a whole series of that whole thing in the bicycle. Rerun wasn't around long enough
around. How can he not be around?
Well, you don't ask questions. You don't have to know.
Well, the kid run away from home? Is he?
Charlie Brown is bald. Did you ask any questions about that?
He's supposed to have a crew cut.
You just take these things for you take them as they come. You know, you don't ask questions. Did he get kidnapped or something?
I mean,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, but
you don't ask why Linus's blanket doesn't get sopping wet and moldy. You don't ask questions.
It does
get
sopping wet and moldy. He mentions that a few times. He says it's sopping wet, it's moldy, it's dirty, it smells, but it's my blanket.
I know he does wash it every once in a while. When it goes in the wash, he sweats outside.
That's right.
But that's true. You could be right that he washes his blanket, but you conveniently skipped over that Charlie Brown is bald.
He's not bald. He's got a crew cut, I think.
That's because his father's a barber. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know his father's a barber. I mean, that's old hat stuff.
Maybe his father, I don't know. I don't have to know.
Well, you're the one who brought it up, you know. Anyway, our number
is one of the only two songs I knew, you know, so I guess, you know, nothing I could do. I had to bring it up. All right.
Our number is 246-7901. Was it Linus or was it Rerun? We'll leave it up to you, our listeners. Mike Viewhouse is back.
Yeah, here we are. Come on, listeners. You know.
Wait a minute.
Listen to this. I make 100% sense. Linus, it was a big series. Rerun was only around for two or three times. Linus, that's all it is.
Yes, but kids don't grow up and then grow back down again. He can't argue with that.
He was always 5 years old.
In the language of Peanuts, he did grow up. That's as old as kids get in that comic strip, okay? They don't get any older. They get up to six and they stop, all right? So, they start off as little babies, too. I mean, remember Sally? Remember how little she was at one point? Then she got big and then she stopped?
Yeah, but then she's been hanging out the same
age. Rerun was the same thing.
He's still in with the little redhead girl and everything. They still eat their lunch.
I know.
There
was suspended animation. But what I'm saying is the kid who was on the back of the bicycle was a small kid, and by that time Linus was at his...
Haven't we proved that Linus
at his
is
top
about
point at 6 years old?
Haven't we? You said no one gets older than six. Charlie Brown's a year older than Linus.
All right. What I'm saying is that kid on the back of the bicycle. That kid on the back of the bicycle is about three or four, not six. Okay, that's my final point. That's why I say it's Rerun.
You're absolutely wrong. No, you're wrong.
Why would a kid 5 or 6 years old be on the back of a bicycle?
To go to the store. I don't know.
No, it's to the library.
Okay,
why? I think we should. You know, just drive. Yeah, no, make a bet on this. Bet a hero or something that later on.
Pizza.
That would be nice, too. All right. I ask you one question, and I want to know if you can answer
Dominus doesn't deliver past two.
Why would...
It's not even 1 o'clock yet, Steve.
We got plenty of time.
Ask the guy who delivers the pizza.
Plenty of time to settle this. Why would a six-year-old kid go to a library with his mother? Obviously, the reason why... Let me finish.
That's a great reason. He's got you there. They didn't want to pay a babysitter.
How are you going to get out of that?
Linus
is
old enough to stay at home by himself. He's done it many times.
How do you know? They never show the parents. You ever seen Mrs. Linus, Mrs. Van Pelt?
Why didn't they take Lucy then, too, huh?
Because Lucy was at the psychiatric help stand.
And she's old enough to stay there by herself.
She's obviously older than Linus.
If she's
old Linus
enough,
older sister.
Hey, wait a minute. If she's old enough to give psychiatric help, she can be by herself. That's what I have to say.
Yeah.
Well, I think the reason why...
How much was it? 5 cents or 10 cents?
It went up.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Special discount rates.
I thought I would get you there, but I guess not.
All right. Let me finish my question here. Or actually my
statement.
Where
was Snoopy born?
Hey, you're not letting me finish. No,
well,
I think
now that I stumped you, now you're going to get out. Okay,
I think
go to do what you want to do.
There. I think the reason why
where was
Linus's and Rerun's mother had to take Rerun to the library was because she had no other choice. She had to take. He's a little kid. You can't leave a little kid at home. He had to come with her. He had no say in the matter. He never commented on it. It was just an accepted part of his life that he was always on the back of that bicycle. Going to the library. I mean, that's, you know, that's as far as I'm concerned, that's the way it was.
You're wrong.
All right. Well,
anyway, you're avoiding my trivia question.
Well, I want our listeners to decide on this first, all right? 246-7901 is our telephone number. Area code 516.
Give us a call right now.
Operators are standing by to take your decision on this matter. This is very important.
Do we have music here now or what? Oh, by the way, Steve, if you're not going to be back later, we really want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for giving us that music.
Hey, anytime.
Anytime,
I just happen to be in the state.
What's your trivia question?
Where was Snoopy born?
At the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm. You're not dealing with some little, you know.
All right.
I know my stuff when it comes to this comic strip here. Okay, I know.
I bet I could stump you on something if you let me think about it for a while.
All right. And I bet I could stump you on something too.
Well, why don't we just go into some music and we'll stump some people later? Okay.
Well, I mean, we were happy. We were talking about the end of the world and everything. And suddenly we got into this mess.
Happy talking about the end of the world.
Yes. I want to go back into the end of the world.
Why don't we go into some music?
There's a song here called World War III,
from Mikey Dread.
Mikey Dread.
Oh. World
War III. No more racial struggles, no more cultural war, 'cause only a cultural revolution can prove what we are fighting for. Each one has his own culture and different from our others. But right here on earth, my friend, we all should live as brothers and sisters, you know? Some people fancy an afro hairdo, while others feel their hair. This, as far as society goes, is normal, clean and fair. But when you grow your locks so long, until it laughs and looks so dreadful, people look you from the soles of your feet and scum the thorns down your head. Cultural war. Everything has its time, my friend, and everything has its season. But right now we are fighting and fighting and fighting, and still we don't know the reason. So let's be fair and serious, and get this thing down straight. We are all brothers and sisters, and should never live in hate. No more racial struggles, no more cultural war, 'cause only a revolution can prove what we are fighting for. Each one has his own culture and differ from all others. But right here on this earth, my friend, we are all sisters and brothers. Some people fancy an afro hair too. Others clean their hair. This, as far as society goes, seems normal, clean and fair. But when you go your locks so long, and till it locks and looks so dread, they look you up from the soles of your feet and calm the crown on your head. Everything has its time. Everything has its season. But we're fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting, and still we don't know the reason. So let's be fair and serious and get this thing down straight. We are brothers and sisters and should not live in hate. World War I came and gone. World War II just before I was born. But today, all I can say, World War III is just a minute away.
All right, we're all tied up so far, so if you want to Call up. 246-7901 is our telephone number, and we'll be taking some more of your decisions. Who was it on the back of the bicycle in the Peanuts comic strip going to the library? Was it Linus, or was it his younger brother Rerun? Important issues of the day on USB.
Stand still and come on by the wheel. Sisters, stop taking those fancy burgers. Crusade a world war one, we never born. One in a world war two, we never born. But it's a world war three, we play the day of the suit. Life on a color TV. So it's a video tape for an instant to play. In a world war one, we never born. One in a world war two, we never born. But it's a world war three, we live to see what it wants. World War II, you see what it wants, confusion is gone. Sing a jazz, send me down a Babylon to one. But me never like how the whiskey did a gone. Sing a jazz, send me down a Babylon to one. But me never like how the whiskey did a gone. Sing and watch a day when I sing a man more. Sing watch a day when I sing a man more. He's out of sin, a man of God, so weep and moan as I would tell you. He's a man of God, so weep and moan as I would tell you. But I did when I said, see that wine is a matter on a strong drink of raging. Don't get deceived by evil spirit. What a day when I seen a man more. What a day when I seen a man more. Have you on the wheel? I want to stand up still. And what a day when it's there. What a day when it's there. What a day when it's there. What a day when I see a man moan. What a day when I see a man moan. You say that world war one, me never born. I mean a world war two, me never born. But this a world war three, me say me day of the seat. Lies on a color TV. How it a videotape for a instant to play. In a world war one, me never born. In a world war two, me never born. But this a world war three, me day to see what it want. Not a world war three, me day to see what it want. Confusion inside.
USB will be around to cover the end of the world for you. In stereo. And Sensoround. Don't touch that dial. Okay, enough about the end of the world. It's 1 minute after 1 o'clock on WUSB Stony Brook, and, well, I'm afraid I have to concede temporarily anyway until we discover the truth here. I'm afraid there are a couple of people out there who are misguided just like Steve Specht. who say that it's Linus on the back of the bicycle. Well, a couple of people came to my support, but there just wasn't enough. Not enough sensible people out there to help now. But what I'm going to do is, all right, there is one person that we all can agree on who knows whether it was Linus or Rerun on the back of the bicycle. And even you know must know who that person is. That person would be the person who wrote the comic strip, right?
Schultz.
Yeah. Now, how do we get in touch with him?
In the middle of the night?
Well, no. Well, wait a second. He lives in California, I think. And if he lives in California, it's only 10 o'clock there.
Where do you get Charles M. Schultz? Is it M?
I think it is.
Where do you get his phone number?
Well, if our listeners have any suggestions as to how we can get in touch with him, because this is an issue that should be resolved. So I'd like to resolve it tonight, and, you know, maybe if it has to wait till next week, okay, but I'd like to you know, not waste a whole week on this.
You want
to
hear another trivia question?
Well, yes, but I'd want to find out the answer to this, too.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Anyway, other than Snoopy, what was the name of the only other non-Caucasian character?
Non-Caucasian character? You mean Frida's cat?
No. Just forget the animals.
Oh, yeah. You must mean Sherman.
Think fast, Sherman.
No, I'm sorry. Sherman is a guy with the hair. Yes.
Forget it. You missed it.
Theodore.
No. Not Theodore.
Wait a second. It's not Theodore.
No.
It's Hold on. It's coming to me.
Schroeder. No.
Schroeder.
No.
Okay, Franklin.
Right.
Franklin.
That's it.
Franklin. I know what I'm talking about. I just take a little time. I haven't read him for a long time, Franklin. Yeah, I do remember him.
Yeah, okay.
All right, I'm going to have to...
six guesses, you got it.
I'm going to have to come up with something that'll stump you and then put you back in your place. But if anyone out there knows how we can get in touch with... why do I sound like I'm in a can? All right, well, if anyone out there knows how we can get in touch with the author of Peanuts... Please give us a call, 246-7901.
Is he still alive?
I hope so. Well, that really screwed things up if he wasn't. No, he is. He is, definitely. I think he was in California, which means it's not all that late now, and it's Friday night, so he's probably out partying somewhere. We can just ask him, hey, who was it on the back of the bicycle? You know? So let's get back into some more depressing music.
life. Your love is like a nuclear wave. Your body is a danger to the human race. It's a stack contaminated. The nuclear waste.
There's nothing like records that go on forever, so you can leave the room, do something else, come back, and it's still playing. We could leave this playing like this all night long, and of course we'd be providing an alternative service by doing that, but no need for that. 7 minutes after 1 o'clock, and as promised, we have our general manager giving a special performance of something he said a couple of years ago, and we obtained the what we call the dub version of it. So without further ado, let's take it away and hear what he has to say.
This is Norm Trussell, general manager of WUSB. As a non-commercial representative of WUSB, I take as far as viewpoints. However, the mandatory student activities to be held on the campus on Wednesday, 23rd, is an issue that is operating existence at the station. If the referendum fails, WUSB will, at current levels, lose 100% of its operating funding. If you are an undergraduate at Stony Brook, and if you believe in diverse and non-commercial programming here at WUSB, please take the referendum seriously and vote intelligently. If we could take an editorial policy, we'd probably ask you for the mandatory fee. Since we cannot, we can ask you to, like the title of one of our programs, is to consider the alternative.
Thank you. The stuff you're listening to right now is from an album by Tomita. Host, the planets. We heard Mars, and right now we're in Venus. Of all places, we haven't quite gotten to Mercury yet. Interestingly enough, there's no planet on here known as Earth. We heard Mars, the bringer of war, and we're listening to Venus, the bringer of peace. Well, you're tuned to the Voice of Long Island. It's coming up on 1:30. It's about 1:25 in the morning right now. I'm Mike Juhas. Eric Corley's in the other studio. He probably doesn't want to be a part of this. I can't blame him. I don't want to either. Anyway, we do have Steve Specht in the other studio, ready to play his piano. This time, well, we've cranked him up a little bit. We've pumped him up with all sorts of drugs and alcohol to give you some music that sounds like this.
Thank you. From the hills of Tibet to the detective squad of a New York City police station. The adventures of Captain Chong.
It's truly amazing, that's what it is. This entire jewelry store was completely cleaned out. There's not a single sliver of a diamond or a tiny speck of gold left in the place.
As the ancient Inca warrior said in the days of Dionysus, tread lightly upon the soil of your eternal spirit, lest it be mud.
Quite right, Captain Chong, quite right. What I find absolutely astounding about this particular case as how somebody could open up the front door without forcing it or breaking the lock. And I couldn't have had a key.
The ancient writings of Tao reveal that the door of life is usually kept ajar through simple carelessness and not through deliberate malice. But when it is locked, only the original key will open the door of life, not a copy made by Bob's locksmiths.
But the locked door was only a small part of this entire mystery. How in the world did these bandits manage to drag out an entire display case full of diamond rings and necklaces without attracting a lot of attention and without giving themselves hernias?
Confucius say the criminal mind bears resemblance to an electrical fire that the water of civilization cannot extinguish.
That's a very good point, Captain Chong. Criminals are very determined and also very ingenious. If someone with the slightest amount of a brain really wanted to come in here and rob this store, he could have probably done it.
One should take care to itemize one's telephone bill to avoid being charged for calls to Bombay that did not really take place.
You're right. You're absolutely right again. We've got to be careful. One mistake and we may lose all hope of ever finding out who these perpetrators are. One thing's for sure. If we catch these guys, our names will go down in history as being two of the sharpest detectives of all time.
False pride can interfere with a task just as wet cement impedes the progress of pedestrians. It is so written.
Yes, I keep letting my pride get in the way. Let's just catch these guys and be done with it.
An African dromedary has very little concern with the affairs of the Stanley Cup semifinals.
and the hills of Tibet will be in existence long after the birth and death of the West Side Highway.
Look, Captain Chong, someone's trying to get inside the store.
Who are you people? What are you doing here?
We're police detectives, and we're investigating one of the biggest robberies of all time. It's a tough case, but we'll crack it. Who are you?
Oh, I'm John McGillivan. I own this store. I just moved all of my things over to my new location on Green Street. I'm sorry. I guess I triggered the burglar alarm. I forgot to notify you, too.
How about that, Captain Chong? All that you were saying about Confucius and the African dromedary was right. All that valuable stuff wasn't really stolen after all.
It has been said by many wise men that the easiest way to solve a problem is to create a better one.
I got to hand it to you, Captain Chong. You solved another one. I honestly don't know how you do it.
The adventures of Captain Chong are protected by all United States and Chinese copyright laws. Void were prohibited.
I like the hat, I like the pose. Oh, mercy, look at that. Is she pretty? I'm telling you, yeah, black don't do it, get him.
Tell me not leave the area. Well, what's your man, me terra no te. pocket, me no bring to you. Nothing in my pocket, me no bring to you. You see the love in me heart, it's a boo-boo.
Yeah, Freddie Hubbard on The Voice of Long Island. You know, we got the tripod family coming up. They're going to be up in a real couple short minutes. So you might want to stay tuned for that. They'll be up real soon. News and classical album side all coming up, too. So don't turn that dial. Don't even bother to fall asleep. As much as I'd like to.
Radio Free Long Island, with special handwritten permission from the Three Village Tobacco Farms, proudly presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. This week we check in on Charlie, who is currently resting at the Amalgamated Hospital in Huntington. And as we look in on him, we hear the nurse say,
"Now just try to sit back and relax, Mr. Davenport. The doctor will be in real soon for your shot."
All right, thanks, nurse.
You're welcome.
Do you think you could answer me one question?
I suppose so. Well, what it is?
How long do you think it'll be before I can go back home again?
Why? Don't you enjoy being here at the Amalgamated Hospital of Huntington?
Oh, no, it's not that. I don't mind being here at the Amalgamated Hospital of Huntington, even though I did sue you folks once for malpractice. It's just that I'm kind of homesick for my comfortable home in the middle of beautiful suburban Long Island.
Oh, I see.
I kind of like to see how the front lawn is doing and how the paint job on the house is holding up.
Yeah, I see.
I kind of miss my old Bulgarian car.
Uh-huh.
And my new Bulgarian stepman.
Uh-huh.
It's been a while since I've heard anything from the old neighborhood.
Uh-huh. Well, I wish I knew what to tell you, Mr. Davenport. It's all up to the doctor. Whatever he say goes.
Yeah.
But I must say, I think you're pretty lucky just to be here.
Wait, oh, you mean after being shot at like that?
No, I mean after having our hospital food.
that's not very funny, nurse.
Oh, Mr. Davenport, yeah, you have to have a really good sense of humor, especially in a hospital.
Well, you people don't have to eat the food in this place, that's all I know. You don't have to stick around here all the time, but I do.
There, Mr. Davenport. I'm sure the doctor will let you go home now real soon, as soon as that there gunshot wound heals.
I don't even know what's going on with the tripods. Yeah, you wouldn't believe this family that moved in next door to me, nurse.
What did you say their name was, Mr. Davenport?
Tripod. They come from California, a place called Big Bear City. And they're probably the strangest people I've ever met.
Well, with a name like Tripod, they must be a very strange bunch of people.
Oh, they are, nurse. Indeed, they are. You never know what's going to happen next with them, I can tell you that.
All right, Miss Davenport. Now, why don't you just sit back and relax now? Here come the doctor with your shot.
You know, maybe I was wrong to sue this hospital. Yeah, it doesn't seem as bad as I thought it was. I guess it's always possible to misjudge a place. Oh, hello, Doc.
Good morning, patient. How are we doing this morning?
Oh, I don't feel too bad. I was hoping I could go home soon, in fact. Do you think I might be able to?
Sure.
Yeah?
You can go home whenever you want to.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Don't move. I got a shot for you.
Are you feeling okay, Doctor?
Oh, yeah.
You don't look so good.
Hey, wait a minute. Who's the doctor here? Anyway, I feel fine. Now, roll down your sleeves so I can give you this here...
Whoa! Okay.
And so, as we look in on Charlie for the first time in a while, we see that he's in rather interesting hands at the Amalgamated Hospital. You want to be with us next time, when we'll hear the nurse say...
That's the fifth time you've fallen down today. What have you been drinking?
That's next time on the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
Stuff.
Yeah, that's Beverly Cotton. That's from the album Clogging Lessons.
Clogging Lessons?
Clogging Lessons.
Well, why not?
Why not? It's got a... Check this out. She's got nice legs, too. See?
Yeah, well, folks on the radio can't see, but
and
that is true.
Even a little booklet in here. Get Your Kicks Clogging by Beverly Cotton.
How do you clog?
Like that. Look at all those pictures. And this is on Flying Fish. Why don't you tell the folks about it?
It's kind of hard to describe clogging when you've never seen it before yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of hopping up and down, it looks like.
Yeah, basically that's about all it is. Really, but you heard it. You heard it. It sounded like Steve Speck playing the piano.
It's funny because there's a little wooden booth here. It says clogging lessons, 5 cents, and then it's crossed out and it says 10 cents. Looks very much like Lucy Van Pelt's psychiatric booth.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
As on the subject. And incidentally, as long as we did mention that one more time, we can't get a hold of Charles Schulz tonight to find out whether that was Linus or a rerun. But
we tried.
We promise that within the next week we will find out somehow, either by talking to him personally or talking to an agent of his, or by finding Linus or rerun themselves and just asking them straight out who was on the back of the bicycle.
Who was on the back of the bicycle?
As if anyone cares. I care.
Do you care?
I do.
Why don't you pick that thing out there that we're going to play right after the news?
Okay.
And I'll start reading the news. Should communities be allowed to ban the trucking of spent nuclear fuel and other radioactive materials through parts of cities and towns? Well, the Federal Department of Transportation had issued a regulation that would have overridden local opposition to such shipments. But on Friday, a federal district court judge in New York struck it down. New York State had joined a few of its localities in charging that the Department of Transportation hadn't taken into account the danger of an accident in densely populated areas, and the judge indicated that he agreed. Officials at the Three Mile Island nuclear plant near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, now say they are receiving no indications of combustible gases inside the Unit 2 reactor building. Earlier, technicians had discovered a possible buildup of a combustible gas, and a minor alert was declared.
Leaks of confidential information from the Reagan administration have spread outside the White House. The State Department has launched an investigation into who leaked some notes from a meeting. Those notes quote Secretary of State Haig as saying Egypt may turn its back on Israel. At an AFL-CIO conference in Bal Harbour, Florida, Haig blamed the leak on what he termed his loyal staff. Japanese businessmen want to invest in U.S. trade and development projects, so they're offering a $10 billion investment fund for American industry. Florida Governor Bob Graham says the money will be available to states planning large-scale trade and economic development efforts. Are Eastern Bloc countries and the Soviet Union equal in the eyes of the U.S. government? Maybe not. A Commerce Department spokesman said the administration is considering ways to make it easier for American businesses to export to Eastern countries other than the Soviet Union. Three governors from the Southwest have suggested a way to make it easier for Mexicans to work in the United States legally. Under the plan, Mexicans entering the U.S. would receive an exit visa from Mexico and an entrance permit from the U.S. They'd also receive Social Security cards that couldn't be counterfeited. American Telephone and Telegraph has tentatively come up with a plan to divest its 22 local phone companies. It suggested forming 7 holding companies to take over the local operations. AT&T was ordered to get rid of the local companies under an antitrust settlement. A Mexicana Airlines jet slid off the runway at Valley International Airport in Harlingen, Texas, during a heavy thunderstorm Friday. All 84 passengers escaped injury. The plane was coming in from Monterrey, Mexico. And a computer is being used in a Los Angeles courtroom to enable a murder defendant to follow the testimony. The defendant claims to be deaf, and the computer allows him to read what's being said about him on a video screen. Officials of the company that makes the system say it may someday be used to translate testimony in multilingual trials.
A federal judge, this is in Uniondale, a federal judge has accused the Suffolk County Police Department of delaying civil suits in which its members are accused of brutality. The criticism was leveled by Judge George Pratt when he ordered the department to surrender a report by its internal affairs unit. The report covers a 1980 incident that led to a $10 million brutality suit. Judge Pratt also criticized the department for hiring an expensive New York City law firm in its effort to withhold the report. Deputy Police Commissioner Charles Peterson yesterday said that the judge's decision, which was announced Wednesday, is astounding and will have a negative effect on police morale. For the past 6 months, the county has been fighting a legal battle to withhold a 10-page internal affairs report about a March 4, 1980, arrest of a retired New York City police lieutenant, Richard Mercy, and his 3 sons at their home in Deer Park. A suit filed by Mercy and his family, including his wife and a daughter, claims that a group of 30 officers went to the Mercy home at 110 Old Country Road, beat and falsely arrested the men, knocked down Mercy's daughter, and destroyed some of their property. The woman, Donna Labinshinsky, was 8 months pregnant, and the day after the incident prematurely gave birth to a healthy daughter. According to their attorney, Arnold Firestone, the Mercies are seeking $10 million for emotional and psychological damage. Initially, the Mercies faced charges of resisting arrest and assaulting police, but the charges were dismissed. The incident occurred when police tried to arrest Mercy's then 18-year-old son, Mark, on a charge of assaulting the manager of a convenience store. According to attorneys on both sides, Mark later pleaded guilty to reduced charges and was fined.
Checking some scores in the various sports, National Basketball Association, the New York Knicks went down to defeat at the hands of the Phoenix Suns, 104-90, and the New Jersey Nets fared no better against the Houston team. What's the Houston name? I forgot. Houston Rockets. No.
Houston, Texas.
Houston Rockets? Yes, it is the Houston Rockets. I'm sorry.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, because, well, I tell you, I got confused between the old days of the NBA and the ABA. There used to be a team called the Denver Rockets and the Houston Rockets at the same time.
Oh.
So I thought the Denver Rockets were still the Denver Rockets, but they're not. They're the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Okay, who cares about that? Houston Anthony defeated
White,
New Jersey.
Anthony White cares.
I'm sure he does.
He's in the other room.
Our sports person. 103-96 was the score of that one, Houston over New Jersey. National Hockey League, Edmonton 7, Hartford 4, and Quebec 4, Winnipeg 4. That was a tie. And that is the sports as we have it.
Yeah. So you're tuned to WUSB Stony Brook, taking a look at the weather. It's snowing in Stony Brook. Actually, it stopped snowing a little while ago.
I believe it did.
And
it's sort of melting.
It's just like, kind of like slush out there. It's 2 degrees Celsius, 34 Fahrenheit. It's 2:04 in the morning. I'm Mike Uhas.
I'm Eric Corley.
And this is the voice of Long Island.
It certainly is.
And here comes our theme. Oh, there it is.
There it is.
It takes a while for that thing to actually get rolling. Well, we have an album side for you tonight, as usual.
As we always do at 2 a.m.
You know what this is? I like the album sides.
I do too. I
because
like
not only that, not only does it give us a chance to play something that very rarely gets played in its entirety anywhere, even on your home stereo.
That's true.
But it gives us a chance to either eat pizza,
which we don't have any tonight,
or clean
I'm
up
hungry
the studio.
Too.
I'm rather hungry myself.
I don't feel like cleaning up the studio. I feel like eating something. But we didn't think in advance. We didn't get anything in advance.
That's true.
Well, do you want to go out driving and get something?
Of course not.
Look at that expression. I can't go out driving because my car is broken.
And besides that, it's not even here.
That's because it's broken. It's at my house. I'd take a bus here today. Two buses.
Why don't you tell us about how you took the buses here?
Well, it was fun. I tried starting my car this morning. Actually, there's a story behind that, too. I was supposed to be up. I had a class this morning at 9:40 in the morning. Not only did I oversleep for the class, I overslept by 5.5 hours.
That's because you were still here last night when I left.
Well, yeah, but even so, 5.5 hours, that's a hell of a way to oversleep. That's doing it, you know,
in a grand way.
I'll say. But anyway, then I tried to start my car and the thing refused. Just flat out said no. So I had to go get a bus, you know, which by my house is kind of convenient because it comes right down my block, actually. So I don't know about other people, but to me it seems as if the bus system in Suffolk County works very nicely. So I hopped onto the bus and took it to a transfer point and then transferred and went here. Door-to-door service.
While you were at the transfer point, you made a banking transaction as well.
Because my bank happened to be right at the transfer point.
Which worked out very nicely. Aren't you the lucky one?
Yeah, but I'm still stuck for a ride home, but I'll figure that out.
Oh, okay. Alrighty.
7 minutes after 2 o'clock, you don't want to hear about my bus ride, you want to hear the album side.
That was very true.
Now, we were talking about comic strips before, namely the comic strip Peanuts. And, well, the character Schroeder just sort of stayed in my mind. You know,
why? Because he plays a piano.
He plays a piano, and he plays Beethoven. So tonight, on the turntable, we have
Schroeder.
On turntable two, actually, we have Beethoven Sonata Number 30 in E Major, Opus 109.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the more popular sonatas, I believe. And we're going to listen to that in its entirety.
Uh-huh.
And hope that a shorter type character is out there listening. Yes. You want to dedicate it to them.
This is the Voice of Long Island, WUSB.
Stony Brook.
If you're at all interested. The area code is
516.
And the telephone number is
246.
And the extension is
7901. So call us now.
516-246-7901.
Thank you.
I always thought the 45 or so seconds of silence after that piece was appropriate, because it sort of lets it sink in a little deeper, if you know what I mean. That was a Beethoven sonata for you, here in the voice of Long Island. We heard the sonata number 30 in E major, opus 109. And, well, of course, there are always all sorts of stories you can come up with about people racing to get back into studios before records end and not quite making it. I think the all-time best has to go to another station in the area, actually in Bridgeport, Connecticut, WPKN. I heard this story from somebody, I forget who, but the person who was on the air had to get something from a machine, something to eat or some crazy thing like that, and he had to go outside the building and across the street to get to one. So he did, put on a long song. Unfortunately, though, the door sort of locked behind him when he went across the street, so when he came back, he had to kind of break into the building to get back into the building, since it was closed, in fact. And the campus security saw him doing that and proceeded to come over and question him as to just why he was trying to break into the building. He tried to explain what was happening. However, he didn't have any identification, so campus security proceeded to arrest him. And meanwhile, the record had run out. There was nothing but a sound sort of like this going over the air. Well, it's not like that anymore because I took the needle off, but if I put it over there, sort of like that. Oh, boy. Just played across the whole label. Okay, we don't want to hear any more of that. So he was arrested, brought down to central booking or whatever, and the only way he was able to get off was by telling the people down in the station to turn on their radios and hear the silence. And he told them that he was responsible for that silence, that he had to get back there to change the record. So at that point, they believed him. And this is a true story that somebody told me about happenings up in Bridgeport, Connecticut. It could happen here in Stony Brook someday. It hasn't yet, but it might. Anything's possible. Well, as long as we're in kind of a traditional mood here in the voice of Long Island, I'd like to get into something that is one of my favorites of all time. And I mean all-time favorites. I'm counting childhood and everything on this one. It's, you guessed it, a Gilbert and Sullivan opera called the Mikado. We don't have time for the whole thing, obviously, since it's four sides, but we are going to hear the conclusion, which I think is simply tremendous. The number of really excellent pieces contained within this side is something to boggle the imagination. So sit back and enjoy, wherever you may be. It's 2:32 in the morning, 2 degrees in Stony Brook. I'm Eric Corley, and Mike Uhas is on the road bringing supplies back to the radio station. We thank him for that. And now, Gilbert and Sullivan on USB.
The criminal cried as he dropped him down in a state of wild alarm. With a frightful, frantic, fearful frown, I bare my big right arm. I seized him by his little pigtail, and on his knees fell he. This worm who struggled and gurgled and guggled, I drew my snake asleep. My snake asleep. Oh, never shall I forget the cry or the shriek that greeted me. As I gnashed my teeth when from its sheath I drew my snake to sleep.
His head and kissed his hand and he
The flowers that bloom in the spring, hello, have nothing to do with the case. I've got to take under my wing, hello, a most ineffective old thing, hello, with a caricature of a face, with a caricature of a face. And that's what I mean when I say or I sing. Oh, bother the flowers that bloom in the spring, la 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 la, oh, bother the flowers of spring.
Then he plunged himself into the billow.
just as sure as I be sure that my name isn't Willow. That was blighted affection that made him exclaim, oh, Willow. And if you remain jealous and obdurate, I shall perish as he did, and you will know why, though I probably shall not explain as I die. Oh, Willow.
There is beauty in the bells of the floor. There is grandeur in the shouting of the gale. There is eloquence of pouring from the diamond. The roaring of the tiger is a lesson of steel.
Yes, I'd like to see a tiger from the Congo. The tiger head, especially with lesson of steel.
He will have a splendor that is grim, and yet he's only carried by the Jones. But to him who's scientific, there is nothing that's terrific in the falling of a flight upon the boat.
Yes, in spite of all my weakness, if I have a little weakness, it's a pattern for a flight of thunderbolts.
If there's you do think very, don't marry, it's evident, marry of these no one. Or if you do, then marry, don't go to the day of no.
You are elderly enough. Information I'm requesting on a subject interesting is the maiden all the better when she's tough.
Oh, I'm quite dominion, it's a general opinion that she'll last a good deal longer when she's tough.
Are you old enough, man, if you think? Won't you wait until you're 80 in the shade? There's a fascination frantic in a ruin that you meant if you think you are sufficiently decayed.
To the men that you mention, I have given some attention, and I think I'm sufficiently decayed.
Thank you.
We heard from Gilbert and Sullivan, the McAdoo. The conclusion on USB, the voice of Long Island.
Yeah.
Mike Uhas is back. That's the kind of music that makes you just want to get up and dance, actually.
Eat.
And things like that. So it's very lively. I've always liked it.
Me too.
You see anything interesting on your voyage outside?
Snow?
Is it snowing now?
No.
But how much is on the ground?
Very little bit. Not much on the roads. Some on, you know, the grass and stuff.
Enough to make the roads slippery, though.
Yeah, but the rain did that anyway.
That's true. So use caution if you're out on the highways.
That's always the best advice.
Always the best advice.
Even now, too.
Certainly. We have a new record that just came in.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Post-bop opera.
That's what they call it. Les Scots post-bop opera. Now, this is kind of a hard record to understand.
But that's good, because this is non-commercial radio.
That's true, and no one understands us, especially us. There's a little blurb on the back, A World Besieged by Nuclear Holocaust. I guess this fits right into what we were talking about before. Radioactivity abounding, constant earthquakes, volcanic uproar, massive desert craters.
Ooh.
Few survivors, only those able to have sealed themselves deep in the underground for many, many years. Now, 50 years later, a scattered few dig out to rebuild, only to find greater obstacles. The Earth, a veritable inferno, 200 degrees by day, 100 by night, that's Fahrenheit. A poisonous reptile swarming her crusts, demons emerging from the dried-out gulches of what was once river and ocean, carnivorous plants engulfing anything within grasp, prehistoric creatures stalking at will in search of power.
Wow.
The post-bop opera is the spontaneous search of three such survivors who sacrificed the safety of their sanctuaries in hopes of discovering a better life.
Are we going to start with Act 1?
No, we're not actually. We're going to jump right into the middle.
Oh.
What they encountered is what we may too encounter when our time comes. The blueprint lies before us in scriptures, works of art, and in throbbing, haunting, esoteric transmissions of the jazz masters we have only to realize. It comes from the Theater for the Evolving Arts. And what are we going to hear? We're going to hear something called Far More Blue. All right?
Ooh.
That's a sound to you.
And let me see that for just a moment.
Okay, you can have this.
Let's see. Far More Blue.
It's right there on the back.
Far More Blue. Yes. A Dave Brubeck composition.
Yes. You knew that.
Yeah.
That's very good. Well, let's get right into it. This is Les Scots post-bop opera, Far More Blue.
All the shouting, strange, cold and dark place.
Station 143, enemy of the state, paranoia, schizophrenic.
Yeah, can it be the morphine?
Okay, that.
Man, poor people like animals, throwing their food under the door.
Patient 157, artist. He wants paintbrush and easel basket.
I just saw him last year. It's all these people want is longer than that.
He won't eat that door till he gets his paintbrush and green paint.
Well, if you'll give him the green paint, he can eat it and paint with his finger.
Yes, sir.
She's responding very well to treatment. Very beautiful. How do you feel today, yeah?
I feel so fine.
Oh, that's good. You like the color red?
Of course I like the color red, because you said I was supposed to.
That's great. Very good, very good. Well, I tell you, I will release you. You're doing very well.
I tried so hard for you, doctor. All of you. People
but on one condition, you must keep tabs on a friend of yours, Renato.
Renato?
Yeah. We've been doing studies on his brain, and we understand he at least has two brainwave, genius level, one permanent, one straight.
I love him, except for that girl, Pavan. She's hypnotized.
Yeah, you know, he's almost as smart as I. 34 LP.
Yeah.
I want you to come with me, and I'll send you both to St. Thomas.
Now, shut up. Pavan's an ambassador. He's suddenly gone. Am I blue?
Yeah, you're always blue. You never need any other color.
Far more.
Yeah, you will be far more blue if you get to the door.
You are the sea. My heart pounds for you. We'll fly together.
When it's
turn you to the forest.
Oh, the kids for my room to brew.
Believe in yourself, Yvonne. Don't believe in him. Am I far more blue? Centuries of fear. Made.
You promised me you'd stay.
They always seem to fade.
Oh, don't let your love last.
'Cause I'm the man no one cares to know.
But I know you
really want to know.
Why my desolation? It needs to grow. I witnessed many an age.
Well, to convince it's a greater age by
good. Why, I tried to control my rage.
Calm down, Ronald. Listen to the doctor.
Mama Blue.
It's almost as strange as us, don't you think?
Yeah.
I think so.
It certainly is.
The Voice of Long Island has reached an end for tonight.
Reached a climax.
That too.
When did that happen? About 3 months ago.
Probably. We've been, you know, going downwards ever since.
I think downwards ever since the first time we showed up on the air.
Where did our theme go? There's no theme there.
Somebody must have turned it off.
Someone turned off our theme. That's a nasty thing to do. Now I just got to keep talking until our theme comes back.
I think I know what it was.
What's that?
Because of all the noise it's making, whoever was on before had it on and...
And stopped it in the middle.
So the noise that it's making now wouldn't go out over the air that it's going out over now.
Well, it has to go out sooner or later. That's what they say about those things.
Yes.
You're just postponing the inevitable. That's the noise it's making, incidentally. I don't know if we wanted to go over that much.
Yeah.
So, that's all for this week on The Voice
of Long Island.
But stay tuned, it's only the beginning of another radio-free weekend.
Ooh.
All sorts of surprises just around the corner. You never know what's going to happen next.
As you roll your eyes upward in obvious contempt.
Yeah, and our theme is here.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Son of a gun.
We are going to get the lyrics to this, you know. What do you think of that John Vernile coming in here saying that was his theme and not ours?
Well, he may have a legal point.
That's true, but he still doesn't have the...